God is so good. Now, last week we got snowed in, and so we went on Facebook. We didn't even go over this. We went over something entirely different. And on Facebook last week, on Facebook we talked about being snowed in, but not locked down. And so today we're going to resume this, and I actually was going to let this be the last one, but yesterday was one of those days. Ever had one of those days? And I very seldom have one of those days. When I have one of those days, it is a doozy. And I have one of those days. And so as I was working on this sermon, I said, you know what? I'm going to save that for next week. And that is the very last part of the sermon is going to be, do not grow weary in well-doing. Right? That's probably one of the biggest things we have to worry about in all this we're talking about. So next week will be the end of this, and then we're going to start going back into Revelation. But remember, next week, do not grow weary in well-doing. If you have anybody, and I don't want to get into the sermon, but I think the icing on the cake yesterday, I'll tell you this, is I was in a grocery store getting stuff for two other families. I'm trying to hurry up and find this stuff, and everything they've asked for, I cannot find. So I've been in there longer than I wanted to be because I couldn't find what they were asking for. And when I finally got out of the, I had to wait in line. Have you ever had to wait in line at the grocery store? It's like next to going to the emergency room. You just have to sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait. And then by the time you think they're through, they got a price check. So going through here, and then the person that was checking me out, I said, how's it going? They said, they're living the dream. And I said, well, that's awesome. I said, I live the dream every day, too. Sometimes it's a good one. Sometimes it's a nightmare. And trying to be light. And they said, well, if you've been what I've been through, you'd have a hard time. And I went, I'm so sorry. Whatever you've been through, God's got this. And she said, my son died. And I said, I'm so sorry. And I was trying to be encouraging. I said, your son died. I'm so sorry. And I said, I don't know what you're going through, but I understand the pain and the loss of losing a child. And she said, really? And I said, yes. She said, what's your daughter die of? I said, my daughter died of cancer. And she said, well, my son was shot. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, what? Shot or cancer? They're all dead. It's just bad. I was trying not to maximize or minimize anybody's pain. You never do that. Pain is pain. And if you lost a child, you lost a child no matter how it is. Now, I was doing a funeral a couple weeks ago, and they were arguing whether they died of COVID or not. I had to pull an 80-something-year-old woman off a 60-year-old woman right there in the gravesite because she was saying she died of COVID, and the other said she didn't. It didn't matter. She was dead. And so I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I remember how bad it was, with my daughter going through cancer. She said, but my son was shot 5 times. And I said, I'm so sorry. And how I felt, to be honest with you? I felt like my pain was minimized, and there was a comparison game going on who had the worst pain, and that's not what I was trying to do. I was trying to help her alleviate. And so by the time she got through talking, I'd already been in there longer than I wanted to. I just got through preaching a funeral. Preached a funeral yesterday. So I'm just left the funeral. And that whole day had been kind of like a wrecking crew, because everywhere I was going, trying to take care of people, and you had to fight them to take care of them, And so a caregiver's life is really kind of rough sometimes. So here's going. And so, you know what? I just looked at her and said, I'm sorry, and walked off. Walked off. And as I'm walking off, she finally said, oh, sir, I'm sorry for your loss. And honestly, I wasn't trying to say, no, you're not. So the whole day, and I got home, and then I got more stuff going on. I'm trying to help somebody, and they're making it harder for us to help. And so that verse that I was working on today came to me. Here's what I heard the Lord say. Dude, you're starting to grow weary in well-doing. And I said, you know something, Lord, you're right. And I looked at this sermon that I was doing, and all of a sudden I heard, no, you don't need to do it while you're in the middle of it. Do it next week when you've had a chance to recoup some from it. So next week we're going to do Don't Grow Weary in Well Doing. So I'm just being honest with you. I'm throwing it out there. I'm laying it out there because anybody thinks, no, well, the pastor, they got it made. No, we don't have it made. None of us have it made. There's nobody in this church that's got it made. Nobody. Nobody. And everybody's got their own brand of pain. And everybody's got their own struggles that they're going through because God said for us to take up our cross. Okay? And that's part of our cross. So God knows how much of a cross you can carry. And that's what he allows you to have. And do not ever tell somebody, and this is part about next week, but I'm still going to throw it out there. Don't tell anybody, well, God, you know what they say? God won't allow you to have more than you can bear. There's another lie. Because if I could bear it, I wouldn't need God. So God lets us have things that we can't bear so that we lean on Him. Okay? So, yesterday I was leaning hard on Him. And so by next week, everything will be smoothed back out, and we're going to do it next week. So let's just finish up this part here today, though. And then just get your Bible out and turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Stand for the reading of the word. I know y'all say, can you hurry up and get through with this? Well, yeah, I'd love to hurry up and get through with it. If it would quit snowing, we'd be through with this. All right. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary. And that word be is different than grow. Grow is something that you're moving into. Be is a state that you're in right now. Not be weary in well-doing or doing what is right. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto them all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are alive and well and you're on the throne. Ask you right now, God, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. Minister, God, in a way that only you can. God, we know, Lord, that you are alive and well, and you are calling the shots, Lord. Although sometimes it doesn't feel that way, we know you are, and we trust you to take care of business on our behalf. Ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, learn your word and learn what you got for us today and help us have an open mind. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing and nothing and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You know, a husband took his young daughter to the grocery store with him. And in addition to the healthy items on the that they carefully prepared for from the shopping list that Mama gave them, they returned with a big box of sugar-laden cookies. I know y'all would never do that. The man noticed the glare of his wife and the heat on her breath. And so when she says, what's this? And he said, this is a box of cookies, but it has 1/3 fewer calories than usual. Why is that? She breathed back down him. He said, because we ate 1/3 of the cookies on the way home. Amen. So today's going to be talking about that. You'll get as the story gets going, you'll see what I'm talking about. All right. So here I'm just a few. I do mean a few slides so we can keep up what's going on. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Genesis 8 and 22. Again, 2020 and 2021, that's a lot of folks feeling helpless and hopeless. But if you're a child of God, we are never hopeless and we're never helpless. God, in His ultimate wisdom, set forth principles in His Word. And with every principle is a promise. They're a combination. You take care of the principle and the promise will be fulfilled. If you don't take care of the principle, then you're not promised the promise fulfillment. So, and with every promise fulfillment, there's a provision. So here it is. And this, somebody gets, you know, I've heard them say, oh, here we are, we're going to talk about money today. No, we're not talking about money. We're talking about stewardship. And pure stewardship has to do with your time, your talent, and your treasure. It's got to do with the whole man. It's got to do with a whole lot more than just money. It's got to do with the total man. But be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. Now here's what I'm talking about. Whatsoever means every word, every deed, every action, every inaction is a seed. Did you know that? Listen carefully. Every word, every deed that you do, every action, every inaction is a seed. And so that word soweth means to scatter, which sometimes you just have to throw it out there, and then sometimes you plant it carefully, you invest it in certain people. But it says shall. Whatever you plant, shall. It's going to happen. It's a promise because it's a principle. With every principle that God gives us, He always finishes the principle with a promise. And the promise is always correct. It always happens. So you can believe this. So we're going to reap, get a harvest of the same thing that we give out. So I promise you today, if you've been given stink eye to your wife all the way up here, don't be upset when you get stink eye all the way home. Okay? Because if you keep giving them stink eye, you're going to get back what you gave. If you've been impatient with people that you work with, don't be surprised when they're impatient with you. Because you're going to reap what you sow. Okay? That's simple. That's as simple as it gets. So now, here it goes. We're going to talk about, here's what we talked about up to now, real quick. We reap only what has been sown. We reap the same in kind as we sow, and we reap more than we sow. And just for correction, because Eddie is our resident mathematician, and he got me after service a couple weeks ago, so I'm correcting it. Ready? Watch this. Look at this. We just see seeds, but God sees trees. Okay? So watch this. Here it goes. The power of reproduction, that is a principle. One kernel of corn will produce one corn stalk. On the average, each corn stalk will produce 3 ears. 3 ears on the average produce 250 kernels. So that one kernel of corn will yield 750 kernels. I did the math with a calculator. 3 times. On 3 different calculators, Eddie. Do you know what percent increase this is? One seed producing 750 kernels. Do you know how much percent that is? Get ready. Get ready. I'll put it up here. This is off of three calculators. 75,000% increase. Whoa. Can y'all say whoa with me? Whoa. So now look. So if God's got this natural principle that when you sow a seed, the seed will reproduce in some 75,000, some may only produce just a handful, some will produce even more than this. Can you imagine what a sunflower seed produces? Wow. So God give us this promise. Whatsoever you sow in word, in action, in inaction, it's gonna come back to you many times over. So it does good for us to watch how we talk, to watch how we walk, to watch how we do things for folks, to watch how we don't do things for other folks. I remember I stopped one day and helped somebody. I couldn't stop. I didn't have time, but I stopped and I saw an old lady on the side of the road, you know, with a flat tire. And I was really in a hurry, but I pulled over. And I think I was even wearing a suit. So I pulled over and best I could, changed that tire. And the old lady was trying to pay me. I wouldn't let her pay me. I said, no, because I got a feeling God's going to give this back to me in another way. Then later on down the road, my mama had a flat tire. And guess what? God sent somebody by and changed her tire. So you know what happened? God, that seed I planted, God used it and showed me, you did this for this old lady, excuse me, mature lady. When I turn 62, I am at an official retirement age, although I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. There's a difference. At seven, look, so she was probably up a lot older than I was, but again, God gave it back to me that way. So again, and this is the last one from last 2 weeks ago. Ready? Get ready. So what do you need? You need to learn how to plant it. Whatever you need, if you plant it, it's going to come back. You can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in the seed. That was Johnny Appleseed that said that. We reap more than we sow. But here's what, look, watch this. We can count the number of seeds in an apple, but we cannot count the number of apples in a seed. Guess what? Only God can. God can. Matter of fact, God knew when he made the apple seed how many apples were going to come from that seed. So today, every action that you do, again, every action, every inaction, every word out of your mouth is a seed, whether it's to your spouse, whether it's to your boss, whether it's to your employer, to your employees, whatever you dish out, I promise you God's going to dish it back. The difference is whatever size shovel you use, he uses a bigger shovel to dish it back. So it's better to make sure that I guard myself and watch what I say and watch how I do it. Amen? So here we go. Now here we're starting over, starting news right now. Ready? We reap in proportion to what we sow. This is kind of like what I just said, but we're taking it deeper. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, now I say this, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So now think about this. Again, we're not just talking, we're talking about time, talent, treasure. We're talking about your deeds. We're talking about your actions. We're talking about your inactions. Okay? So now, this deals with, now we're getting personal. Very personal now, because now I told you only God can count those seeds in that apple. So what it deals with first is responsibility. You know, I see people all the time, they're the ones that messed up, but they want to blame everybody else. You ever know anybody like that? Matter of fact, without raising your hands, have you ever been like that? You're not getting back what you thought you were planting. You're not getting back, and you're wondering why, and you're blaming somebody else. But is it a possibility that you just threw a little bit out there and expecting a great big bunch back? It's kind of like this. I can't give you what I don't have. Okay? I cannot give you what I don't have. If I don't have joy, I cannot bring joy. If I don't have knowledge, I can't bring you knowledge. If you have not planted, if you planted sparingly in whatever you did, don't get upset when you get it back sparingly. Amen? I like that bumper sticker says, if you're going to complain about farmers, don't do it with your mouth full. Amen? You seen that? If you're going to complain about farmers, don't do it with your mouth full. There's also, if you're going to complain about fishermen, don't do it with your mouth full. Okay? Well, spiritually, get ready. Here's a good one. Don't complain about lack if you have your hands in your pockets. Woo! Y'all say that with me. Someone make me a bumper sticker. We'll put them on the cars. Don't complain about lack with your hands in your pockets. I got some of my family right now, bless their hearts. They're always, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. My name's Jimmy. Give me, give me, give me. And I finally told them one day, I said, you know what? I said, you're going to find out something. They said, what? I said, you won't come off anything. You got to hold on to everything. And I said, I'm going to tell you what I have discovered. I have preached hundreds of funerals. And I have yet to find a funeral a hearse with a U-Haul connected to it. And I told him, I said, when you die, I'm going to go get a crane and dig a great big hole and throw your house, your truck, your car, your coffin, and everything you own in that hole and cover it up. Because you're always so scared that if you come off anything, you're never going to have enough. And I said, the whole principle is when you give, God gives back. And the reason you're not getting back is because you're not giving. Of course, I made friends and influenced people that day. Responsibility. Quit looking for blame. Faithfulness. Oh, here's one. Start planting and quit talking. Again, don't know why. I never get it back because you never planted it. You know, as y'all remember that, y'all remember it. Look, don't complain about your lack with your hands in your pockets. Y'all remember that joke where the guy said, the guy literally was saying, God, I need to win the lottery. And the guy said, one of his friends said, how long have you been praying that prayer? He said, I've been praying that prayer for 10 years, and God has never let me win the lottery. He said, I don't understand. He said, maybe you need to pray harder. So he got by himself one day and closed the doors and said, God, I've been praying for 10 years now. Let me win the lottery. And the voice from heaven boomed down and said, buy a ticket. You sound like why everybody treats me. Everybody seems to be picking on me. You got a Charlie Brown syndrome. Everybody's picking on me. I don't understand why I'm always getting bad looks. I don't understand why I'm always getting picked on. I don't understand why people are always talking junk to me. It could be that you're reaping what you're sowing. Out your amen time, but it's good. Many times you reach it, you're reaping. Now, if it's just one person, that's different. But if everybody's doing it, then it could be you're reaping what you're sowing. So start planting. Quit talking and start planting. And faith, it is possible to limit your harvest. Did you know that? You can limit what you get back because of the way you plant. You know, if it's like this. I had a guy, and I'm going to talk about this later. I had a guy call me one day, years ago. He said, Pastor, I'm in a dilemma. I said, what's your dilemma? He said, well, I own a business. I said, well, okay, that's a dilemma enough right there. He said, no, you don't understand. My business is doing good. I said, well, that's awesome. And he said, but I got a call. I said, from who? He said, a guy wants to buy my business. And I said, well, that's up to you. I can't tell you what to do. And he said, but I need to know because I need to know if I want to sell my business or not. I said, well, do you have anything else lined up? He said, nope. I said, well, what would you do after you sold your business? He said, I would just live off the income that I went from selling my business. And then he said, but that wouldn't be enough. So I'd have to do something else. And he just asked me over and over and over again. And so finally the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day. And when he asked me that question, we went to lunch and he said, I don't know what to do. Can you please tell me what to do? And I said, I cannot tell you what to do, but I can give you a principle. He said, well, give it to me. I said, don't eat your seed. And he went, he said, whoa, 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 back that up. I said, don't eat your seed. He said, I don't understand. I said, you're telling me that this business has provided for you. It's done great. It's been awesome. It's really helped you. It's made you very wealthy. You're doing great. And this guy wants to buy it because it is a very prosperous business. But when you do that, you've got no other source of income and you're not sure what you're going to do after that. And your spouse is really upset about you even thinking about selling the business and blah, 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 blah. And he kept throwing in factors. And I just said, I got one thing to tell you and I'm not going to tell you whether to sell your business or not. I said, but don't eat your seed. He said, can you explain it one more time? I said, okay, a man's traveling through the desert. He has no water. There's no water in sight. He walks up and he comes up on this oasis. But on the oasis, it's not got water, but instead there's a pump. a hand pump. So he goes to the hand pump and nothing comes out. Nothing comes out. It's dry as a bone. He says, well, that's something. I'm going to die of thirst right here with a pump in my hand. And he opens up. He sees a sign arrow pointing down below the pump. So he looks down below the pump and there is a cabinet. So he opens up the cabinet and it says there was a jug of water. And it says, whoever needs water, use this to prime the pump. He was so thirsty, he pulled up the jar and did not prime the pump, but instead drank the jar and soon, within days, had died of thirst. He ate his seed. If he'd have used that pump, like it said, to be primed, use that water to prime the pump, he would have had an unlimited supply of water. But he didn't know if he could trust that pump. He didn't know if he could trust the whole thing. And so he drank the primer because he didn't know if he could trust the pump. I'm here to tell you right now, if you eat your seed, I'm telling you, don't be amazed when you don't get a harvest because you eat what you should have been planting. Okay? So now, let's go a little bit further. Then it's good stuff. I try to practice this all the time. I think about it all the time. And I very seldom talk about it because I don't want you to think that this is all I'm about and I'm not. But this is the first of the year and the Lord has just put this on me with all this stuff going around us. I went in a food line last night and there's like 25 or 30 spots for bacon and they were all empty. And so I go looking for bread and the whole shelf was empty. And this is not after a cold snap. This was just regular day. And I go to get, and my neighbor wanted me to go get her some beans. And I go to get beans and I go down the bean aisle. And the beans were empty. Night before last, Linda and I went to the store and she took pictures. She said, can you believe this? And she went down every aisle. There was aisles that were as long as this pew here without groceries on. I said, man, this time is getting rough. And the Lord spoke to me again and said, talk about sowing and reaping. Talk about sowing and reaping. Because my laws are not contingent on what's on the shelf at Food Lion. So here we go. Get ready. Here we go. Here goes another. Yeah, I love this verse. Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured back unto you and to return. Now, again, this is more than money. This is your time, your talent, and your treasure. Watch this. What's he talking about? He said, it's just simple. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. What he's talking about is back in that day, people wore an outer coat, an outer shawl. Part of one of the shawls that went over their shoulder was the prayer shawl, and they could pull the prayer shawl over their head, and that was going into your closet, your prayer closet, because wherever you were at, you could stay still and put it over your head, and you'd be blocked out from everything else, and you could pray to God in your prayer closet. But another purpose on this other outer garment was when you went to the store, if they had open market, and if you were getting some grain from them, you would take that outer garment and you would hold it. You would take your hands. And I'm not going to do it because I'll show my belly. But if you'd pull it up like this, and they would pour the grain in your skirt. Now, it said they would put it in your lap. That's what it's talking about. That's that pour that you pulled your skirt up. You pulled your outer garment up, and they put the beans or put the grain or whatever it is in there. And then to make sure that you didn't have a kink in the fabric or you had something caught up on your belt or whatever, you would take it and you would shake it. And when you shake it, it would help it settle. And after you helped it settle, then they would put it in again. And you would shake it, and it would settle, and they would keep pouring until it run out of your skirt. And God says, if you give that way, you get it back that way. Let me ask you a question. Doesn't it give you a whole different outlook on what you say, what you do, your activity, your inactivity? If you sow to the flesh, you get to the flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you get of the Spirit. And whatever you sow, you're going to get it back, pressed down, shaken over. So can you imagine what that would look like in our own lives? We would learn that principle that God's got, that we reap in proportion to what we sow. That tells me that, again, I can limit my own harvest. Okay? Ecclesiastes 3 and 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Wow. That's just amazing. God's power working in us. So I try my best every day, and I think about it all the time. What kind of seed am I planting? You know, I was trying to get, I got joke going along in the neighborhood because I do all this stuff for the elderly. I try to do their plumbing and their electrical and whatever else they may need. And of course I do it for my kids too. The electrical part, DC and Daniel are good at their own plumbing, but I do their electrical and I do it for Sam and Nick and all of them. So I almost get me a sign that says Paw Paws, prayer and repair. And so when I hear them call me up and say, we need some Paw's prayer and repair, I know either y'all need me to go on my knees and pray or you need me to get on my knees and fix something. Amen. And so I was in Lowe's and I knew exactly what I was looking for. But again, you go look on the shelves and there's empty. And so I'm on the shelves, I keep looking and I look and I took the app. I have a Lowe's app and it told me exactly where to look and I'm looking and it's not there. And there's an 80-something-year-old woman in the neighborhood. Her shower was leaking. Her toilet was leaking. I was trying to fix all this for her. I needed some kind of caulking. And I'm going, and I'm going to own up. I know y'all never do this. Never. I see this young lady, like a teenager, sitting over by the paint wearing a Lowe's shirt. And it looked like she was texting. I walked up to ask her about this. I said, she don't even know I'm here. So I walked back over there. I looked again. I couldn't find it. Then somebody come up and I talked with them for a while, you know, about a mess. And then they finally left. And I said, I don't have time. I got to go ask her. So I said, I'm going to go ahead and get her off for texting so she can try to help me. When I get there, talk about crow. They had this little bitty thing at Lowe's that all the workers take, and they use it to find stuff for you and check prices. And that's what she was doing. She was doing an inventory of paint. So number one, I felt stupid right there. I'm not going to say what I would normally say because Benny would get all over it. And so she gets up, and I said, she's not going to know anything about this. I said, ma'am, can you help me? I cannot find this certain type of caulking. And she says, well, sir, there's a reason why you can't find that caulking. We can't get that caulking. And she looked it up. And I looked it up on that little phone that I was assuming that she was texting. She says, we don't have it, but I'm going to show you what we do have. And she said, this is the best stuff we've ever got. And as she's talking, I heard Bethany. Because this girl looked, not only did she look like Bethany, was the size of Bethany, but she had that spirit about her. And the more she talked, the more I felt like I was talking to Bethany. And I said, and it gave me a good feeling, bad feeling all together. And as she's helping me, she says, sir, I'll do anything I can to help. If you just let me know, and I'll show you, I got the stuff. And then I told her, I said, remember planting? And I said, I didn't tell her what I was thinking when I got there, how I thought she was just goofing off. But I did tell her this. I said, you know what? The more you talk, the more I see God. And tears start rolling down her face. And I said, not only the more you talk, the more I see God, but the more you talk, the more I see my daughter. And I did this. I had this bracelet right here. And she's crying. And I took this bracelet off. And I put it on her. And I said, let God keep shining through you. Now you see, even Mr. Spiritual Super Duper Whopper Looper can blow it. But I thank God that he let me recoup from that fall. And when I left, she was wiping her eyes. And I found myself wiping my eyes. And I went, and then I went and helped that old lady, and I fixed her shower. So here it goes. Again, watch this. God's in us, and he wants to do something special in us. Now watch this, and I'm trying to hurry up. So that's why I'm not going to do the part about growing weary, because that's all by itself. You got a whole different thing, especially for caretakers. You know, a caretaker, get them here next week. It's going to be important. Make sure you get the caretakers. Okay. If you want more than enough, give. If you want less than enough, grasp. Even in this society right now, even in this economy, you want more than enough, give. You want less than enough, grasp. If you want abundance, scatter. If you want to be needy, you hoard it. And this is every area of your life, your words, your actions, your deeds. Now, let's go ahead and go to the next one. It says, because when you sow, you're going to reap. And I won't talk about the faint not part, but I'm just going to say the do see. Watch this. We reap in a different season than we sowed. How many has ever planted a seed in May and a flower? May 1st, I plant the seed, and on May 2nd, I got flowers. How many of us, sometimes you plant it and you have to wait and wait and wait for it to come up because you don't, as a matter of fact, it's working in the dark. You can't even see it. You don't even know it until it breaks ground. You're not even sure that it's working. You have to trust. My granddaddy was a farmer and I watched him all the time. He'd ride in that old Chevrolet truck and he would ride up and down the road and look at his tobacco and ride and look at his corn. And look at his potatoes and see how it was going. And sometimes I'd say, Granddaddy, what you looking at? There's nothing out there. He said, oh, yeah, it is. There's a bunch out there. He said, I just got to make sure that I got the ground ready for it. So when it comes up, she'll be ready to go. Watch this. Due season refers to an occasion or a set or proper time convenient to God, not to us. All right? This is God's appointed time. Let me tell you this. This is a principle. It's God's appointed time. It cannot be changed by us. You cannot change God's appointed time. You can change what you think is God's appointed time, but you cannot change God's appointed time. Okay? It's important that you understand this. And again, Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. I'm getting ready to close, so get ready. Y'all get ready for this now. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Back in that day, to do business with other countries many times, you'd have to put it on the water and ship it to them. And when you shipped it to them, you had to have faith that that shipment was going to get to them. And then they in turn were going to send back to you what they owed you. And you just trusted God that the whole shipment was going to get there so you could get the whole payment back. Not only, and there was pirates on that water even back then, but not only was it that way. This is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Cast your bread upon the waters. Now, when we look at this, I want us to, we reap in a different season than we sowed, of course. Look at this. Watch this carefully. Now watch. First, there is a process. The process is cast your bread on the water. Now, again, that word bread is not necessarily money. That bread can be an action. That bread can be words. That bread can make a difference. That bread is something that brings life. Think of it as something that brings life. And that word cast means throw it out with no strings attached. Wow. Throw it out with no strings attached. And in the Bible, in Revelation, when you see water, is talking about people. So you are to, whatever you've got within you that you have, whether it's words, deeds, inaction, action, that brings life, cast it among many people. And after many days, this is a process that God set up. I didn't set it up. God set it up. Now, the problem is the many days. The problem is, what if somebody gets the bread that you weren't expecting and you don't really appreciate that? I would recommend to anybody that's having a problem sowing into other people's lives to sign up with us when it gets back again. They've already shut it down again. When they open up Pitt Detention Center and we need people to go, I challenge you to be a servant. Because once you start working with all these guys and you see some of the conditions these guys are in, or the way some of them act. There was one guy that acted very weird in B5, and he couldn't stand people crowding him in. And we didn't know his story. And I kept thinking to myself, dude, you're really kind of acting kind of weird here. You're in this room with these 12 guys, and you know, you're going to have to let it up a little bit. And so finally, one day, we're having a group session, and I'm talking about things that bring fear. And I find out this guy was a coal miner in West Virginia. And he said, one day, I was down a mile down in the ground, digging coal. And he said, our mine collapsed. And he said, I was on my belly with coal on my back for, I think it was 18 hours. He said, people up above couldn't get to us. They were trying to get to us, but at least they could communicate a little bit, and they were trying to help me breathe so I wouldn't go without oxygen, how I could conserve my oxygen and whatever was in there, conserve it. And he says, you know how hard it is to try to breathe right when you got a ton of coal on you? And you're a mile in the ground and it's dark? From that time on, I watched the guys all around him and everybody was going. And they were doing like this and they were. And after we had that group session, nobody picked on him again. Because they heard his story. But our problem is, we don't know everybody's story. And so because we don't know everybody's story, sometimes it's hard to speak that life and throw it on the waters. Cast it. Throw it out. In other regards, look, I'm not going to have any strings attached. I'm going to cast out that life-giving stuff. God's saying here, I want you to be a person of action. Now, I don't want to be a person of action. I want you to be a risk taker. You need to be a risk taker when you taste your bread. Part of God's plan Your life is activated by taking action, which usually involves the next word, risk. Cast your bread upon the water. Here's what I'm going to tell you, no deposit, no return. If you don't cast that bread out, you're not going to find it after many days. Here's a kingdom principle. If you don't give things over to God, He can't fix it. If you do not pray, you can't have answered prayer. If you do not give an offering, you cannot receive a harvest. If you do not witness to people, you will never have souls saved. You will get back what you put in. The problem is the wait, the many days. You've got to wait for God because there is a promise. I'm getting ready to close. I am closing right now. To everything, there's a season, and every time there's a purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. That is a promise from God. Now watch this. Watch this. This little combination of all the some of the stuff we've been through in the last couple of weeks. Everything you need is in the seed you sow. We reap what we sow. Every choice we make is a seed. There is a due season. If you have a need, sow a seed. Every seed comes back of its kind. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. Get ready. Brandon, come here and play something softly, please. God is faithful to His Word. And His Word is full of principles. And with every principle, there's a promise. If we follow His principle, then comes a promise. And then finally, what I told that guy that I said, don't eat your seed, came to me. He said, I got to make a decision today. Do I sell my business or not? I said, I can't tell you what to do. It's your business. He said, watch this thing again about eating the seed. And I told him, don't eat your seed. He said, what's it about the pump again? I told him about the pump. He said, okay, I'm going to the bank right now. I said, but that's up to you. I'm not here to tell you what to do. You just ask for my advice. I saw him a month later. He walked up to me and said, man, oh man, some of the best advice I ever had. And I said, what's that, bro? He said, don't eat your seed. I said, why is that the best advice? He said, because I didn't sell my company. If I'd have sold my company, and he started naming off all the negatives that would have happened to him, and he would have been busted and disgusted. And he said, thank you so much for being obedient to God and telling me not to eat my seed. Everybody stand up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. 20 is when the brakes hit fast and hard. I know in my car, when a car stops in front of me fast and I slam on brakes to keep from hitting that person in front of me, whatever I've got in my car winds up falling in the floor, tumbles over, whatever. 2020 was like that. And when I slammed on brakes, all my plans fell right in the floor. Same way with y'all. People were praying for 2021 to get here, that it was going to be better. And the Lord told me, said, it's not going to be better. You better prepare them. And it was worse. Now we got 2022, the year of promise, the year of hope. Does that mean things aren't going to be bad? They're going to be bad. They're going to keep getting worse every year. But I remember in my car, when I had to slam on brakes and everything was thrown in the floor, coffee spilt in my lap, whatever. If I could just pull over on the side of the road and get out of traffic for a minute, I could put everything back up and clean myself off and get back in that car and negotiate that traffic. Well, here's your chance. 2022, pull over on the side of the road, clean yourself off. Put everything back up and move forward. Are we going to be surviving this? Yes, we're going to survive it. How? I can't tell you. But I can tell you this. No matter what they do in Washington, D.C., no matter what they do in Russia, no matter what they do in China, God has principles that they did not develop. God did. And His principles are true and forever, no matter what Russia, China, Washington, D.C. does. My challenge to you now is to live by these principles. You can't live by what you see, because if you live by what you see, you're going to be disgusted. If you live by what you see, you're going to be busted. If you live by what you see, you're going to really, really, really get a negative, negative thought on life and outlook. But if you think about your words, your actions, your inactions, your planning, whatever you plant, cast your bread upon the water, whatever you got that brings life, which is a good attitude, a song, a pep in your step, helping somebody meet a need, bringing food to somebody that's hungry. You may not see it right away, but it's going to come back. Just like that time that I helped that person on the side of the road. Within months, Mama had a flat tire. And she said, this nice young guy stopped by and changed my tire and wouldn't take any money. And she said, that was so awesome. I said, oh yeah, I seen him. And she said, you know, I had a flat tire. I said, no. I said, but I fixed the lady's flat tire a few months back, and God told me that He was going to repay me, and that's how He did it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here right now, and you're ready for God to show you something different in 2022, you've hit the brakes. All your stuff's in the floor. You're ready to get it back up. You're ready to get going again. You're ready to see God move in your life strong again. You're ready to be a difference maker in all this chaos that's around us. Here's your opportunity. You reap what you sow. First off, let me ask, if you're here today and maybe this stuff has gotten you toward a point where you've gotten so aggravated with it that you've even put God on the back burner. And you're ready to put God back on the front burner. You're ready to be used by God again. You're ready to see things change. But nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up? I'm ready. Are we going to pray together, okay? You ready? Pray, everybody, pray this with me. Father, I love you. And I thank you that your principles are always true. They always work. They always fulfill the promise that is attached to that principle. Father, help me to begin this journey of 2022 with a good attitude. And Lord, I rededicate my life and my purpose to you right now. Help me not to grow weary in well-doing. And help me to be a bright shining light at my work, with my family, with my friends. And I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Now let me add one more before we get ready to totally dismiss. Maybe you're here right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here right now. And with all this crazy mess going on, you become a grasper. With everything, time, talent, treasure, you become a grasper because of the bad attitudes that have developed from all this mess and the bad things and the empty shelves and all that. You become a grasper. And you're ready now. After hearing this, you're ready to become a giver again. With your time, your talent, your treasure. With your words. With your attitude. With whatever you've got. If I'm talking to you right now, you're ready to see that turn around. Helping you get past that grasping back into giving. Would you raise that hand? Say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. All right, ready? Let's go again. Ready to say it together. Lord, these times have really made a dent in folks, in our hope, in our help, and we really need you, Father, to help us realign and get back in there. Because as I see the stuff happening around me, I'm quickly becoming a grasper, and I need you to help me turn it around. I give it to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now we're going to have a good time next week. I promise you, if you know any caregivers and water caregivers, you know anything about a caregiver, somebody goes and sets up with somebody all night, that's a caregiver. If you're taking care of an elderly parent, that's a caregiver. If you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, you're an EMT, you're a policeman, you're a caregiver. If you're taking care of anybody, you're a caregiver. If you've got kids, you're a caregiver. Amen? Caregiver doesn't mean that you're sitting by a bedside of somebody. Caregiver means there's somebody that you take your time and your effort to make their life better. That's what a caregiver does. Next week, don't grow weary in well doing. And then we're going to finish this up, and then we're going to go back into the all the other stuff we've been doing till we got up to this point right here. Isn't God good? All the time. Amen.